Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 223 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for July 16th, 2015. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and I got some games to talk about. One in particular, a preview of something coming out a few months down the road, and some anime, including Gangsta, Monster Musume, and of course, some more Toradora, which I'm almost finished with. But yeah. That's what is on the docket for this here podcast, this episode. And, yeah, don't really know what else to say here other than I'm pretty square. Where? Everywhere. Here, there. Look at my hair. Faces. Wastes. I don't know what I'm doing. But, yeah, I do want to wish a happy, happy birthday to my friend. His birthday was actually yesterday, July 15th, Robert Amaya. Happy birthday. I hope y'all had a good one. I was going to say y'all like I do, but then I'm like, it's not more than one person, so that doesn't make any sense. It's funny because I think for his birthday last year, I backed something on Kickstarter and I recently got an email that it should be shipping soon. So Mouse Guard game should actually be coming out soon. So that would be nice to come around your birthday-ish. But yeah, nobody else cares about that. So why don't I just shut my stupid mouth and get on to the show. This is going to be a shorter one than usual, which is good. Maybe this will become the usual because it works for me. Does it work for you? I don't know. Oh, God.
For the most part, I've pretty much just been playing when I have the free time, more of the Elder Scrolls Online, and I am enjoying that. I have ventured to a few different areas, and I haven't gone too deep in them. I've just kind of gone on the main story missions, kind of. I don't even know if you'd call them story missions, just some of the more, I guess the initial missions that send you to those areas. I haven't ventured too deep in the areas. They seem like they're somewhat big, and I did see a notice that an upcoming new piece of DLC with a whole new area, I can't remember which area exactly, is coming out, and I'm not sure how much that costs, though. If it is coming out so soon and coming out so soon on consoles, it does seem a bit, I don't want to say it's weird. It's just that when you have everyone paying $60 or cheaper when it's been on sale for the game to play, even though there isn't a subscription fee, to ask them to pay, say, $20 for a new area, that probably, I just don't think that a lot of people would be really pumped to do so, amped to do so, whatever umped to do so. I mean, I wouldn't. I have no interest in doing that. So yeah, there's that. But what I really want to talk about is I just got like a few hours ago or so, and I'm happy I got it this early and didn't have to wait till Sunday. But I got a preview code for a game called Skyhill, which will be coming to PC, Mac, and Linux on October 6th of this year. And it'll be retailing for $14.99. Retailing, that'll be its price. It ain't going to be hitting retail, of course, because it's a PC game. And what, Blizzard games do that, nothing else these days. But it is a survival roguelike point-and-click adventure, basically. And I played two games for about an hour or so, so I haven't gotten that much time into it, you know, relatively, but I quite enjoyed my time with it, that hour. It's funny because the first game I played, I lasted probably about 45 minutes. I was being very thorough in checking the floors. The way it's set up is that I'm not sure, there's not that much backstory, but whatever it is, you go on the top floor of this high-rise hotel, and it's the 100th floor, and you wanted to have the one with the like nicest view and all that, the most expensive, the greatest suite on there. So you end up on the top floor, and all hell breaks loose. There's this mushroom cloud. Some explosion happens, and it turns a bunch of people, maybe everyone else, or who you think may be everyone else. I haven't run into any survivors yet. I've gotten messages and whatnot, and then they end up dead by the time I get to them. But so I don't know if you can actually run into survivors while they're alive. But it turns out this mushroom cloud, this explosion, turns all the other people into mutants, and they will be scattered on different floors. And what you're trying to do is get from the top of the floor to the bottom and escape. I assume I haven't done that yet. I got very close on my second playthrough. But on my first playthrough, I was being very thorough, going from floor to floor. You collect resources that you can use to craft items. You're looking for food and health and weapons, essentially. And I'm not sure if there's any other stuff you can do. But you also, on the top floor, your VIP suite is where you would go to craft items, or you can sleep to regain health, which would take away from your food, your hunger. And I think of all the things that is of all the things that you have to worry about more so than anything else, hunger seems to be the thing that really just, if you don't pay attention, it will just disappear in seconds. Fighting monsters is pretty, it's not too bad initially, but they start to get much more powerful, so you will need to craft better weapons. And there's an elevator, but it's not working. First, you need a VIP card, which you get relatively fast, to activate it, to access it. And then it'll only work to a certain floors. Usually it's in about 10 floor chunks, and then there'll be a broken, not outlet, what do you call it? It'll be a broken machinery bit, and you will have to fix it. And you can either fix it with items or by hand, which can or cannot be successful. If you have the item needed to fix it, it'll be a successful 100% of the time, and you won't have to worry about hurting yourself or failing and having to try it again. But you still can manage to fix it without the necessary items. And this helps you get down a lot quicker. But you can go floor by floor using the stairs and checking rooms. It's set up in three chunks. So you have your elevator / stairway in the middle. And then on each side, there are rooms. And the rooms can be medical rooms. They could be other hotel rooms. They could be security rooms, etc. And they'll have different items. Or they can be inhabited by mutants. And if the mutant is inside one of the rooms, you can just leave and ignore collecting items in there. But if a mutant is in the stairway, you will either have to go up and use the elevator to get down further, or kill the mutant first before going down further. So that's the time when you have to kill one of the mutants, but otherwise, if it's just in a room, you can leave. And it will not chase you. I have not run into a mutant that chases me. I've run into mutants that run away, which is annoying. Because I don't know if I've run into mutants that look the same on the next floor. And I'm like, you got your health back. How did that happen? Did you eat something? I don't know. I don't see any kind of remains of food you ate or people. But yeah, my first playthrough, I was being very thorough, going from floor to floor. Even if I got the elevator, I'd go down to the furthest it can go, and then I would go back up. But every time you do an action, I'm not sure if it's an action or just if you move. But if you move from the stairway to one of the rooms, back and forth, and up a floor, or you know, vice versa, etc., that will take away 1 point of hunger, and I think you start with 50 hunger, and a full health. I think your health is full at 100. But yeah, you're basically just trying to get down to the bottom, and I assume if you reach the main floor, you win, or at least you escape. So it's fairly simple, and the visuals are a very nice little kind of almost cut out stylized look. It's not overly complicated, but it has a nice style to it. And of course, this is a preview build, so there are things that are not completely finished. There's a bit of voice acting in the beginning to try and give you a bit of the story, and I have to believe and hope that it's all placeholder voice work, because it was not good. It was especially, I think, I'm not sure if all the other characters besides the main character were robots, were not real people speaking, like Siri and what's her face from Halo, those type of quote people. But I had fun with it. I love roguelike, so it's right up my alley, and I was surprised by how much fun I was having playing it in the hour I played it. And in my second playthrough, I basically just, after maybe about 5 minutes of being thorough again, I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna go and try to get down the bottom. And I reached, I think, the sixth floor and ended up dying because I was hungry and I had no health left, and I couldn't make it. So close. I was so close. It was very depressing. And there are various difficulty levels, and you will, by playing the game and reaching lower levels, you will unlock traits that you will be able to start new games with. At the very beginning, you don't have any traits unlocked, but I unlocked a bunch in my second playthrough, so I look forward to messing around with those and seeing how they maybe help in my attempt to escape. I feel like the easier difficulties, I will not have any issues escaping, doing the whole just rushing to the end. And it's nice that there are those difficulty levels, because if you're somebody who likes the idea of a roguelike and just this aspect of having to start over from the very beginning if you don't make it, but you don't want a ridiculous challenge, then you can still get that out of it. But hopefully in the more difficult ones, it's a bit more difficult. It might not even be possible to do so, just because of how limited it seems like food resources are. And also, because crafting only can happen on the very top floor in the VIP suite, that wouldn't work. I was just thinking that it would be kind of interesting to play where you can't use the elevator at all, but you would need the elevator to at least, they'd have to come up with like some very BS explanation as to why you could only use the elevator to go up back to the suite and then back to wherever you are and nowhere else. But yeah, I think if there was some way of making it work, if it was either allowing you to craft mobily, having to go floor by floor by floor by floor would be a very interesting mode. So if that was possible, or if that's ever a thought, just throwing that out there, if there was a mode where instead of having to craft in the suite, you could craft mobily, you could just craft whenever, but you could not use the elevator, I think that would be pretty interesting. But I liked what I played in the hour I played, so yeah, and it's still got a few months to beat out all the little bugs and whatnot, but I think there's a very strong foundation for a quality game here in Skyhill. And once again, it's going to be coming out for PC, Mac, and Linux on October 6th. It'll cost $15. And I don't know if there are any plans for a mobile version, but this game would be fantastic on tablets. Yeah, I don't know if it would work on like phones because of the screen size, even though phones are just getting bigger and bigger. But I think this would be an awesome tablet game, so maybe, or you could just play it on your Windows Surface, because that's just a Windows device running full Windows, so you could run Steam on it. Yep. All right, so that is Skyhill, roguelike, survival point-and-click adventure. And I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. I was really hopeful for it. And I was pleasantly surprised to find that I enjoyed it and that my hopes were not destroyed. Like the world in Sky Hill. So this last week or so, or since the last show, I've been pretty busy and haven't been able to watch as much anime as I would have liked. So I pretty much just almost finished Toradora and watched a few of the shows of the season. And I'm not even sure. I can't remember where I left off with the seasonal shows last episode, so I'm not even sure if I talked about the Dandelion show or not, the second episode, and a few others, but I'm just going to focus on Gangsta and Monster Musume, which, yeah, that was something. But Toradora, I'm through episode 20, I believe. They're just about to go on their school trip, and things are getting serious. Like, super serious. And one thing I forgot to even mention in my little preview last show, and I can't believe I did. I remember thinking about after recording it and posting the episode, I was like, how did I forget to talk about this thing in Toradora, which is the most ridiculous, random, I don't even know why it's in there. It's so weird. And if you don't already know what I'm talking about, Inka-chan, that bird. What is with that bird? I don't get it. I don't understand why it's there or anything about it. It's just this really creepy, weird bird that can have a conversation and looks like it's trying to poop every single time the camera zooms in on its face. It's just tongue. Like, I want to say politically incorrect things about this bird. Because I don't understand it. It is super weird. It is the ugliest, most disgusting bird in the world. And it should be killed. I was so hopeful it actually died that one time. But it didn't. And that broke my heart. But yeah, What? What is the bird? I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to serve any kind of real purpose other than to be this really weird, random thing that's just, that's what it is. But Toradora, other than Inka-chan, is fantastic. I love it. I love the animation, I love the visuals, I love the story. It is, of course, going down the path I expected. Though I'm very curious to see how it all plays out, and it's doing it all very, very well in this whole, Taiga and Taka, Ryuji, they started wanting or kind of forcing each other, more so Taiga forcing Ryuji to help her win the heart of Kitamura. But yeah, it's clear that their relationship has become something more and kind of just happened by accident because of all the time they've been spending together. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, because Kitamura, it seems pretty clear that he doesn't actually want to pursue anything romantically with Taiga. But with Kushida, who Ryuji is into, there are more questions, and I'm going to probably be finding out exactly how she feels about him in the upcoming episodes. There's also Kawa, who seems to also like Ryuji. But I don't think there's ever been a remote chance that he would end up with her. That'd be an amazing way to end the series, is that he just picks her. But that would not make really any sense at all. But yeah, it's a really really good show. It pulls off both comedy and drama very well and can go from one to another. Can transition between the two very well. It's, like I said, it's a very pretty show. And when, in particular, there was a fight between Taiga and the student council president who Kitamura was in love with and pronounced his love, and then she basically rejected him. So Taiga wanted to beat the crap out of her for that. And there was this fight they had in the classroom, which was just so beautifully animated. You know, it wasn't like super duper, like the most well-produced animation, but it was just really well put together, and the emotions in that scene, it really knows how to work the medium of animation, and I really, really like it. It's a lot of both fun and heartbreak, and it does so much, and it does it all so very well. The voice acting is great. I'm watching it, subtitle, of course, but I just really, really, really like it, and I'm both excited to get to the end, and it's going to be sad to no longer experience these characters. And I know there's an OVA and maybe a few other little bits here and there, but it's a one-and-done season, I believe, and that's good. I don't think it should be any more than that. But Toradora on Crunchyroll, both available dubbed and subbed, which is not the most common thing on Crunchyroll, at least. Really good. Highly recommended. And moving on to Gangsta and the seasonal shows I watched, so there's just these two. But Gangsta, I just watched the third episode, which I think may have came out today, or maybe is yesterday. That show continues to be really good, though. The one complaint I've heard, and it didn't really bother me, and it still doesn't bother me, but I noticed it more after hearing people complain about it. But yes, the setting doesn't really do much. The sense of place and where they're at is not really that important, and it doesn't have much life to it. It's a very, very bland, blank canvas, and it's much more about these characters and slowly learning about them. We're definitely not getting a quick reveal for these characters, these main characters, but still loving it. We're starting to get a bit of their backstory and why they do what they do, and what they do, referring to Nick and Warwick. Not too much on Alex. She's just kind of there. I hope she gets more to do and whatnot. But yeah, it's really good. No surprise there. And it continues to be really, really good. I do wish Nick would not speak in every episode like he has so far. I really wish he would be more selective with his words. Even though he is selective with his words, I just mean, I think having him not speak verbally would make when he does so more powerful. But so far he's spoken in every single episode, even though there are only three episodes, so every single episode is not a lot of episodes still. He's spoken in all of them, and I would kind of wish that wasn't the case. And then there is Monster Musume, which I think I mentioned this in the first episode, but yeah, to those who complain about the etchiness of Food Wars, that Food Wars is like a kindergarten show compared to the etchiness of this. And I guess there is an uncensored version, which would then, to me, just be hentai, because ecchi is without showing, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, not super hardcore hentai, but still hentai. If you can see the actual bits and prizes and whatnot, but this show is just ridiculous. And I kind of like it and I kind of don't because of how super etchy it is. And that the show I'd compare it most to Shimoseka, but I think Shimoseka is more about the humor of dirty jokes and all that stuff, of, you know, that raunchiness, while Monster Musume is just more so about showing the raunchiness and being very, very explicit in it. In that there was a scene where a harpy was sucking on a popsicle, and she was going back and forth, and then they show a shot where it looks like she's giving the main guy a blowjob. And I was like, okay, super, it's clear what you're doing here. But then I don't know if she stops or if he pulls the popsicle away from her, and then you see it move in slow motion, and it looks like from the like liquid and the saliva that's still on it, like it's veiny, like a penis, of course. And then because of the jerking of his pulling it away or whatever, all that saliva and the liquid from the melted liquid from the popsicle ends up all over her, and it of course was like a white cream popsicle, so it looks like she's just been cummed all over her face and her upper body and whatnot. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm okay with this, or it's just, it's a bit much. It doesn't really leave much to the imagination at all. And I don't know. It just might be a bit too much for me. I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Though I just don't know how to feel about it. Because I feel like it's super fan servicey and crap. Whereas Shimoseka is being very funny and, I don't even know if it's super clever. It's very different ways of handling the raunchiness and in either the showing or the actual joking about it. So it's just weird. It's just weird. I also watched. I don't think I mentioned this before, so I'm gonna go over it really quick. But what is it called? The Snow White with the red hair. I can't remember the actual title in Japanese. But that show I watched, and while I like it, what I don't like is that they make the main character, the main female character, I don't want to call her Snow White. That bothers me because she's not Snow White. That's why. But they really make her into this strong female character, and then whenever she's just about to be able to do something all on her own, she gets saved. She becomes a damsel in distress. And I don't, if she's going to keep almost being able to do things on her own but needing help, and needing specifically that stupid Prince Zen's help in the end, it's going to be annoying. Just let her do it on her own. I don't want her chasing this prince. I don't like the fact that she's decided to settle in this place, and it's clear that a big reason of it is because of that prince. I just want her to be an independent lady, because she is very clearly capable of being one, and I just want that to happen, because she's an awesome character who is being somewhat, not ruined, but just sadly and disappointingly so held back by this damsel in distress complex that the creators of the show have put on her in the first two episodes. And hopefully that does not remain the case, because I think it could be a really cool show with a strong, strong female character as your lead, which would be awesome. And not a magical girl show. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been watching. I have to catch up on some other shows like Overlord. I haven't watched anything past the first episode, which I guess is telling, because the more time has passed, the more I'm kind of like, it's a very boring, horribly paced episode that was just very, very slow for most of it. And that the fan service in that episode was in particular just really crappy. It was just stupid. It made no sense. But more so than that, the real problem with that episode was just how slowly paced and boring it was. It was just like, this game is going to be coming to an end, so I guess this is where we stop playing together. Yep. All right. Well, I have to get back to the real world. Okay. It was fun playing with you. Okay. So, I guess this is it. Yep. Okay. Yep. That. If you're bored listening to me, that's what it's like watching the first episode of Overlord. I have to watch. I just have to catch up on shows. But that'll be easier when I finish Toradora. But when I finish Toradora, I'm probably going to move on to another series to work on my backlog. I don't know what. I think I'm going to go back to 12-ish episode series just because those are easier and quicker to get through. But yeah, enjoying anime as always. And yay anime! But before I leave, I'd like to ask y'all a question. If you're watching any of the new shows this season, what are your favorites? And what has both surprised you and what has disappointed you? And what shows can you not miss each and every week? What is a show you just have to watch every week? Yes, let me know. And then I'll let you know next week, even though I've already kind of talked about them. Ooh, okay, bye-bye. Inside Ninja!
Shing! And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PXSausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, YouTube, wherever you feel like listening to it. And if you haven't already, it actually would be greatly appreciated if you subscribed, rated, and reviewed the show on iTunes, because that really does help out more than you might think. And if you are into video games, I do record a podcast every other week called Pixelated Radio with a group of fine fellas. And that's all about the video games and definitely worth checking out. And one of my fellow co-hosts from that show does a show about racing. So if you're into cars that go really fast, you should check out Sports Car Unleash at scunleashed.com. That is, of course, on iTunes, as are all the shows mentioned. And, if you have any questions, comments, rants, I don't know what, you can leave a comment on the post. You can tweet at me, going, tweet, 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 tweet. Or you could email the show directly at psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or, do whatever you want. I don't know. Find out where I live through the internet and throw a brick through my window. Please don't do that. But if you have any questions, etc., I'd love to hear them. And so I bid y'all farewell for now and hope y'all have a lovely rest of the day. And I look forward to letting you hear me talk in the future. And I hope y'all look forward to that too. So cheers, and let loveliness find its way into your day. Lærer mig fra frakaste, kunne du ikke glemme ikke et vis som du gerne kunne du, du må tage af, hvad der så så kunne du, før du ikke før nogen af varde, 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 det er mader min, elsker min. Mother of me, let her kiss her bad, let her kiss her bad man.
άδειο θρησέμβου και ρε κουτού. Νούνα η άδειο θρησέμβου μουν και ρε κουτού. Χάρταν σκαρτέα άντρε κουτού. Ενδου άρ έκαι γιορτή φάρδου. Φάρδου. Φάρδου θέτα μαδερ μην. Έλσκα μην. Mother in me, let that kiss you by, let that kiss you by me.